Thank you for listening to Two Bulls in a China Shop. If you enjoyed this conversation, please let us know by rating and subscribing on your platform of choice. And if you want more, you can check us out at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number two. You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the China Shop. I am your host, Kyle, and joining me for this special update is the lovely Sue Mackey, formerly known as Pullen. But before we dive into today's news, I just take a quick moment to say thank you to our sponsors and friends over at Manscaped, Trade Pro Academy, and Order Flow Labs. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming with precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and with a new and improved 2.0 version of the Weed Whacker now available, it's the perfect time to take advantage of our exclusive offer of 20% off and free worldwide shipping using promo code 2bulls at manscaped.com. As always, that's the number two. Ran out of breath in the middle of that one. When it comes to institutional quality trading education, look no further than tradepro academy.com. Our free Discord server, you'll find instructions to take advantage of our discount with them as well. And for all you degenerates who enjoy trading futures, you'll definitely want to look into the custom tools and studies over at orderflowlabs.com. And of course, if anyone is looking at a loan or a refi for some reason, you can shoot Sue an email at spullen@fairwaymc.com. I know the rates probably aren't exactly conducive to big business these days, right, Sue?
That's correct, but they are coming down. They are coming down. Hey.
I'm going to have to ask you how those are intertwined, because for some reason it seems like mortgage rates will come down when interest rates are going up. I would have thought they'd been closer to the correlation would have been a lot closer.
Well, it really depends on what you're talking about. People think when the feds raise their federal fund rate, that interest rates go up. But that federal fund rate is really just the rate that banks charge each other to borrow money overnight. It's really not the interest rate on mortgages.
Oh, but it's more like a benchmark then?
It's really used for banks. What banks pay each other to borrow their money. But the interest rates, the mortgages, are based off of mortgage-backed securities, and it's based off of the 10-year treasury. It kind of follows with that. And the 10-year, but Friday was kind of a crazy day. We had a really good jobs number. Well, it was a soft jobs number. So really, when the economy is doing not so good, interest rates get better. When the economy is doing really well, interest rates actually go up. When inflation is going up, interest rates are going up. Mm-hmm. But when we're getting ready for a recession, when unemployment is starting to creep back up again, then you're going to find that interest rates are actually going to get better, especially if the feds leave it alone. But
yeah.
Therein lies part of the problem is, do the feds leave it alone? They don't know how to leave it alone. And, you know, I was asking you, Kyle, I don't understand the feds. What I don't understand is, you would think they would know more about what they're talking about. And it just seems like they are taking information and using it the way they want to interpret it. And it's not always accurate. Look at the jobs report. Look at the jobs report that came out last month. I mean, how wrong was that?
Right.
When it showed a positive, but yet there were really like 2.5 million job losses when you don't take into account, the seasonal adjustment.
Right. That's right. That was the major revision they did, wasn't it?
Yeah. But they don't talk about that. They just throw these numbers out there to fit their rhetoric. And it's, to me, I just wonder, are they even... Yeah, they know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. But do they really? Do they really?
I think they do. I think the problem is that it's just such a blunt instrument to try to control inflation.
Why are they always doing it too late? Powell again said they're going to keep going. Okay, keep going. Why? Why? Slow down a little bit, because they're going to overdo it like they always do. and then we're going to go too far one way, and then they've got to correct it and go the other way, and then they go too far that way.
I mean, part of the I think part of the reasoning is because this is who was I talking to? I think it was Robert. Robert made a good point. Like, they need to have something to be able to cut. So you go aggressive really quickly, so that way you can still have some room to cut it later down the line.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. The more I learn about it, the more I watch it, it seems like it's more about just the optics of doing something more than it is about actually doing anything productive.
Yeah. Well, I just don't understand. I don't understand how they think. And sometimes I think they don't think. You know, I look at the they love, what is it that they love? The PCI index?
Mm, yeah, yeah.
They love that number. Yep. But
the core, I mean, too.
Yes. But how accurate is that really? I mean, the numbers that they're using with the housing mm-hmm. numbers in there, it's like a year old. It's mm-hmm. data from a year ago.
Huh.
That is so wrong that it makes the numbers today so wrong. Okay. So one number I want you to put on your calendar is when the PCI comes out in May. I don't know what data.
PCI in May, okay.
The CPI and the PCI. When those numbers come out, they're finally going to replace some housing numbers from a year ago. That's going to make a major effect, we think, on inflation.
Oh, that's what you were talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But why don't they look at that? But why are we using numbers from a year ago? Why is the lag so high?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense either, especially when you're talking about the effects of what they're doing now are only being felt,
right,
12 months later. Like, the first rate hikes were 12 months ago, and they're just now seeing the impact.
And why is nobody talking about it? Why does Susie Orman not talk about it? And why do, you know, these people on the news or on whatever you want? I don't even watch them because it just makes me sick to my stomach.
Me neither.
But nobody talks about it.
Well, who else? If you criticize the one person who's trying to look like he's fixing the problem, then if they take it away from him, then who else is going to do it? Nobody else wants to touch this. It's a lot better to be able to blame Powell for everything that's going on than it is to be like, hey, I could do a better job.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you got to just follow the right people. Just mm-hmm. follow the ones that, you know, that tend to get it right more often than not.
Who do you like?
I listen to Barry Habib.
Barry Habib.
He's with NBS Highway, Barry Habib, and he's on Fox News and that kind of stuff, or whatever those shows are. Like I said, I don't watch them, but he's really big in the lending side of things, and really breaks it down so people can understand and explains why these reports are wrong. Where, like, the jobs report that just came out,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he nails it, and he's been actually right. They got some Crystal Award for predicting what rates are going to do, that I think he won 4 out of the last 5 years. I mean, the guy is really smart, and he knows Japanese candlesticks. He follows the market on the MBS, mortgage-backed securities, like you do with the stock mm-hmm. market.
Oh, okay. Technical analysis and all
Yes, he does the technical analysis. So he knows when it's overbought. He knows what these morning star patterns are, and, you know, all this stuff, and can say float or don't float, you know, float or lock, and what, you know, of course you're never exact, but that's the one thing I find. History repeats itself.
What's the saying is, history doesn't repeat, but it often rhymes. I always like that one.
That is a good one. Yep. Well, the data's there. So you just got to look at it and know how to interpret it.
Right. Barry Habib, I'll put a link to his stuff in the episode description if anybody else wants to check him out.
Yeah, MBS Highway is the one that I listen to. Yeah.
MBS Highway?
Yep. Mortgage backed security.
Okay. Yep. Let me write that down real quick.
Yeah.
Kind of got a little ahead of ourselves. I was wanting to give you a moment to update the listeners on what's been going on with you, because last they had heard is that you were no longer taking loans or sponsoring the show.
Well, I am still doing loans. Yeah, I'm still doing loans. I'm licensed in 33 states. In fact, we better throw out there my NMLS number 206048,
and my, you remember?
yep, and my company ID number Fairway is 2289.
Yes.
So we've got that in there. But I still do loans. But, you know, Kyle, I hit 60 this last year, and I don't think I ever want to do a 2020 and 2021 year again.
Oh, really?
I don't want to work like that. I mean, I did 80 million, and that's not a lot compared to some people. It's a lot mm-hmm. compared to others, but it's like four times what I normally, or three times what I usually do. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to work that much.
Right.
I want to play harder, work smarter and play harder.
Right.
So but what I are you still doing? Have 33 licenses. So I'm still doing loans. There's finally, we have a really good HELOC program out there that you can actually go online, get an offer within 5 days, close it on a mm-hmm. line of credit. That it's just unbelievable that it's finally something out there that actually is a really good product. And it's in most states. There's a couple of states that's not in, but things are slowly getting better, and products are opening up, and we're seeing margins getting better. And I mean, we talked about reverses a little bit. Reverses, it's still a great time. It's still a really good time to buy a house. Yeah, the rates are high, but what I tell people, Kyle, is you're gonna marry the house, not the mortgage.
Right. Yeah.
You're not gonna keep that mortgage. So put a temporary buy down, put a 2-1 buy down on there for the first 2 years and refinance it. Really and truly, how long are these rates going to stay up like this? I mean, seriously, I can't imagine, because the market's going to slip and we're going to see inflation come down. Rates are going to change and refinance. So what? But even still, 7%, is that bad?
Well, it depends on how old you are, I guess, right? If you're old enough to remember the 80s.
That's exactly right. But if you only remember the 2% range, yeah, right, then it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I think, well, that's such an interesting point, because I think people have forgotten like what rates used to be. Like 5% was like the norm, or even low, you know, back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like the first house that I bought after getting out of the military, I think it was 5.25%, and that was a good rate.
I remember refinancing when I first got into the lending business. I refinanced our house to a 15-year at 5%. And mm-hmm. I remember saying, it is never going to get below 5%. And I think I refinanced that thing 7 times. It kept getting better.
Right.
You know, and that's another thing. People wonder, so at what point do you refinance?
Yeah.
Do you refinance? It used to be you got to drop 1.2%, whatever it was. No, none of that matters anymore. If you can drop even a 0.5% and it makes a big difference, but you're not adding to the mortgage, let's say you're rolling in the closing costs, and that mm-hmm. makes the more sense to do it because it's not costing you anything. Roll in your closing costs. Who cares if you refinance that thing 3 times in a year?
Right. As long as the payment continues to go down.
Right. And if it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So why not?
That's a good point.
Yep.
So what are you doing with Fairway now then?
So I got rid of my branch. I closed out my branch, and I went to the corporate loan team. So I'm in a corporate branch where I do employee loans, but I had been doing those anyway. But then I do my own production as well. So like I said, I'm still doing loans, mm-hmm. but I do help out with other things as well.
Such as?
Well, right now we've got our annual meeting is coming up, and I get to reach out to all of our vendors and ask them to give us money to sponsor the event. I'm really pretty good at getting money.
I bet.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always did it for Little League, and I did it for kids soccer and mm-hmm. and all their different events that they did growing up.
Yeah. I could see you being pretty relentless with that.
That's not a nice way to put it.
Hey, it's goal oriented.
Let me tell you a quick story. Hey, I got to tell you this story. So when my oldest daughter was old enough for the travel team of soccer, and mm-hmm. keep in mind, I knew nothing about soccer. I grew up in Upper Michigan. We didn't play soccer. They had hockey and they had baseball and they had basketball, but soccer was never anything we did. So I didn't know what was good or what was not. Well, they asked her to be on the travel team. And I laughed and I said, seriously, why don't you guys just tell me you want me to be her on the team because you want me to be your fundraiser? Just admit it, because she's no good. She has never, ever scored a goal, ever.
So she played defense?
She played goalie.
Oh, yeah.
That's how little I knew. I did not know goalies don't score.
Right.
They're not allowed on the other side of the field. So it turned out she was really good.
Okay.
She really was good. But I didn't know that. She never scored. Heck.
Did the other team score when she was in?
Hardly. She was really, really good. Yeah. I didn't know that.
It's just like hockey without the skates and sticks.
Yeah. But I can't. Problem with hockey is I can't see the puck. Oh, I can't see it. So I just watch and wait for them to start fighting each other, because that's what I like about hockey.
When you watch hockey, you don't watch the puck. You watch the players. You see the puck, or you have awareness of the puck based on the player's body language. You can tell who has it based on the way they're skating and the way they.
Well, why didn't you tell me that like years ago?
Because you never asked.
I was always waiting for the fight to happen.
Yeah. Too bad there's been less of that lately.
Yeah, that's the part of hockey you go for. Yes.
Right. Like slap shot.
Yes, my favorite movie.
I wanted to ask you while I had you on here then, since you're in the field then, what do you see with, I mean, you mentioned it's still being a good time to buy houses. Like, why do you still think that? You don't think that the interest rates going up is going to cause a correction in the housing market?
So I don't think there's going to be a correction like everybody's thinking, like happened back in 2008 during the meltdown. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, that's a crash. That's not a correction.
Okay. Okay. So, will things correct a little bit? Possibly. But think about it this way. If you were to buy now, you take advantage of the fact that interest rates are higher. There's very few houses on the market, which means it's a seller's market. But because the interest rates are higher, buyers are afraid to get in there. So you have the ability to negotiate with your seller, maybe for closing costs, maybe for them to buy that 2-1 buy down for you, maybe to get a little bit of a discount on what the price is. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you wait until rates start coming down, and we're still in a housing, there's still not a lot of houses out there for sale, which there isn't. We still have a shortage. Now you're in a true seller's market where the seller is just going to take the best offer and they're not going to offer you anything. You're going to be fighting over it. You're going to now be in multiple offer situation where hopefully it's not like it was where you had 70, sometimes 70 offers on one house.
Oh my God.
No, that's why in the Phoenix area, prices went up so high because there wasn't enough houses on the market. And we're still in that situation. There's less now than there was a few months ago.
Really?
But because rates are higher, less buyers are in there. So get in there now and buy it as rates come down, refinance.
It just depends on if you need it or not, right?
Because what's your option is to rent. And how much is rent going up?
Rent's been way worse.
And that's starting to soften a little bit too. Those numbers are softening, but are they going to, they're still going up. And even houses are still projected to increase in value. They're still increasing.
Last I saw it was a 20% drop is what some of the predictions I was seeing floated around there. So you're not seeing anything like that.
No. And I think it's going to really depend on what area you're talking about. So I think you might see some correction in some areas, but again, it's going to depend on how much is out there.
How do you track that? Like, how can you see the inventories?
I only care about the inventories that I'm in, and I just go into the MLS or I ask one of my realtors what's out there.
But how much stock?
But if you listen to Barry Habib, he's going to tell you how many. I think there's like maybe 1.4 million houses on the market. But 600,000 of those were under contract. So in the country, there was less than a million houses on the market.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty low.
How did we get so short?
How? People aren't selling because if you sell, you got to buy.
Right.
And they're afraid to buy because of the rates.
Yeah, but houses don't get torn down very often, do they?
They don't. There are some that do, but yeah. And the other problem is that your builders aren't really building a lot.
I do remember when lumber was skyrocketing. I think that was fueling some of the price surges that were going on a year or two ago, but that's come down significantly.
Yeah. But the problem with builders still is they haven't caught up. They're still, it takes forever to get a house built in a lot of places. They might tell you they're going to be done in February. Well, in August, you're still waiting.
Well, let me ask you this, though. I thought some of the housing shortage started when people were leaving the big cities back when COVID was hitting. Are we like, what are the inventory situations in like those big cities like New York, LA?
It would be a complete guess. I just know in the country there's not a lot mm-hmm. for sale in the markets. But again, think about it though. If you're going to sell your house, where are you going to live? You got to move to somewhere.
Yeah.
So unless you have to move because you're relocating, but I still, yesterday I pre-qualified 9 people. So I had 9 new applications come in.
So people are still looking.
So people are. Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Interesting. Just scared is what it sounds like.
I think that's more of what it is than anything. It's scared. And the media does nothing to help alleviate that. I think their purpose is to scare people. Yeah. But what do they get out of it? I don't know.
The media?
Yeah.
Views, clicks.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why I put silly headlines on these episode titles. The housing information you need to know.
Yes.
Well, all right.
I've also noticed, Kyle, wait a minute though. Kyle, I've also noticed that gas is going up.
Yes.
Here in the Phoenix area, gas prices are going up.
Yeah.
So that means what? Inflation is still going up?
Well, I mean.
Or is it really?
I hadn't really been paying too much attention to that, other than I've been seeing some large builds and inventories on crude and gas on the oil reports. But
so I wonder. But I'm telling you that March or that May date, I'm really excited to see how that changes things.
Yeah, that's going to be super interesting. I guess I didn't realize that the housing numbers were that delayed.
Yeah.
You're right. That doesn't make sense. But they got to have some other thing they're looking at, right?
Well, there's other things that go into the mix of it. But in these reports, it's like a high percentage, like 40%. Mm-hmm. I think Barry said like 40% is the housing part of thing. Is the housing part of it? It's unbelievable, really. And then using numbers that are so old.
Right. Right.
Yep.
All right. What else should we discuss here? Have you been paying any attention to the Silicon Valley Bank disaster?
I did see that. It was just one bank though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how, I stay away from the news. I just rely on hearing it from places like you. I get a good overview of what's going on in the news from you. But I really do. But I did see that. I did see that headline. That was very interesting. So
it was
really
interesting because there's two things that are really interesting about it. First of it was the actual events that caused the bank to collapse, because the bank's finances actually weren't all that bad. They just had a little bit of a shortfall. They needed to do a round of fundraising to get their balance sheet shored up. But then they basically catered to venture capitalists.
Right.
And all these venture capitalists they started using their tech apps to tell all their friends to get their money out now before there's a run on the bank, and basically cause a run on the bank.
Wow. And they went under.
This is the second largest bank to go under since 2008.
Who was the first?
I don't remember. They didn't say that. They just said it was the second largest bank collapse since 2008.
Wow.
But the other thing that was kind of interesting to me was that the people are speculating that this crisis is actually going to cause the Fed to start slashing rates soon, because they're blaming everything on the shortfall because of that. The high interest rates causing them to not be able to get, you know, the kind of returns they had been getting before.
Right.
Money's getting, you know, tighter for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Larry McDonald, he told CNBC on Friday he's expecting 100 basis points of easing by December.
Oh, well, that's the end of the, that makes sense because in reality, once inflation cools, which it's going to, that's what the projection is, that we're going to be in the fives for interest rates by the end of the year, like after summer to the end of the year, and then in the fours the next couple of years.
That's still up from where we're at now, isn't it? What's the federal funds rate now?
Well, I'm not talking about federal funds rate. I'm talking about mortgage rate.
Oh. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, you know, that was something else that I was talking to somebody in the mortgage industry. He was saying that the mortgage side has been having trouble, like, with the secondary market. They can't sell any of their loans because nobody's buying them now.
Well, they can sell them, but they're not getting much money for them.
There's no premium for it. Yeah, no. Yes,
the premium is what's been cut, like, a lot. And that's why you're seeing a lot of losses from last year. Companies that went public. I mean, I think I read that Loan Depot lost like 600 and something million last year.
Interesting.
That's a lot of money, but it's because they're not making as much per loan anymore. So what they're doing is they're lowering loan officers. It has to go all the way down to loan officers reducing commission on how much, because there's not as much money from each loan.
All the margins are going away.
I think that's something that the feds actually wanted to change is how much money is made. You know, which finds me, you know, it really is interesting how our wonderful government wants to dictate how much one sector can earn, but not others.
Right.
What about movie stars? What about football players and basketball players and baseball players? Why not?
Right.
Why not cap everybody? If that's what we're gonna do, let's cap them all.
I think they're working towards that with the Biden's tax plan, aren't they?
I didn't look at that either. Yeah, it is what it is.
I just know he wants to raise capital gains taxes, and I'm not a fan of that.
Well, no. I'm not a fan. However, I do think, though, that something has to change. Our tax code is ridiculous, but that's a whole nother topic.
Right.
But you know what? They're never going to change that kind of stuff because look how many people are going to be out of jobs.
I know. How many people does the IRS employ?
But Kyle, didn't they say they were hiring like 80,000 people, but that didn't pass.
Oh, really?
I don't think it actually passed.
They were supposed to be hiring more people to be able to do more audits.
But I don't think it passed the final whatever. So I'm not sure that it's happening, which is good because who wants to be audited? Although I was audited twice and it was really fun.
Is that a serious comment or?
No, I really enjoy that kind of thing. It was, and when I was audited, I had some casino winnings and I had, this was after the meltdown stuff. And it was a gal from the IRS who had never done, she had never done what I had to prove. And she said that I owed them like 20,000 or 30,000 or whatever it was without looking at any documentation. So I gathered my documents and I'm telling you, I gave her documents that were at least 2 feet tall. 9 months later, 9 months later, she gave me the stuff back and said, okay, you're fine. It's done. She didn't do anything.
All right. Did she even read it?
I don't know. I think I overwhelmed her.
That's smart. That's pretty difficult to do to somebody who's works for the IRS.
I know. She was new at auditing and she wanted to try this.
I gotcha.
She wanted to try mine. She picked the wrong person.
I did check. The IRS is not hiring those 87,000 new agents. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Something didn't pass, whatever. Yeah. Which is good because do we really want to be audited? No.
No. No, I thought a lot of that too was based on the crypto.
Oh, that could be. And that silly $600, if you make $600 in like Venmo and Cash App, you gotta report it.
Oh God.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
$600 a year. I think they raised it up to $1,500 a year. Who writes these laws?
I don't know.
It's so dumb. Although I don't even think that made it into anything.
Right.
We just need a woman in there to just totally overhaul our government.
Well, as long as they pick somebody good for the job. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, we don't talk politics here.
Okay. But we definitely need changes. You know, I was thinking, how long can the United States stay in power? If you think about it, countries or regions or like Roman government, how long were they in power? 500 years? The Ottoman Empire.
You talking about the peak or like the length of the empire?
How long were they in power? Were they in power 200, 300 years? They we are over 200 years. How much longer is the United States really going to be a superpower?
Well, hang on. Rome depends on how you define the fall of the empire. It split into two empires, and the second one continued until it basically got taken over by the Ottomans in like the 1500s.
Right. How long was the Ottoman empire?
Probably 400 years to 500 years.
Think about it. 400 or 500 years. I mean, we're more than halfway there. And some of them are only in power for a couple hundred years.
Right.
Yeah. But how do we lose that? How does the United States become no longer a superpower? The dollar gets devalued, you know, the dollar, they change currency maybe, you know?
The one thing the U.S. has going for it right now is just the access to two different oceans. So having ports and access to trade with Asia and Europe at the same time puts us basically in the perfect position to be an economic superpower. Until somebody else on this continent or South America, I think, starts to challenge that, I think we're probably going to be safe for a while, or at least in the conversation, if not the de facto leader.
I was reading, or I watched something on on Africa, and why does Africa, I mean, they are very similar to Europe. Mm-hmm. And why did they never become wealthy like Europe did? And it's really because of their ports. They have a lot of cliffs and a lot of sharp, you know, they don't have the ports like the other countries do.
It's the naval trade that really sets you. Yeah. Yep. Access to trade.
Didn't think about that. I don't think about that kind of stuff anyway.
It's fascinating to me. I love reading about that stuff.
It actually is. It really is. I never thought I would ever say I like history, but I actually like reading about history as I get older.
Right. It's because you're seeing the value in it.
Yep, I do.
All right, Sue. Well, thanks for jumping in and updating us. I think a lot of the listeners have been wondering how you've been doing. Is there anything you want to leave them with?
Nope. If you're just interested, how about if you're interested in really knowing what the market is doing for your own situation, give me a holler.
All right. And that's at spullen@fairwaymc.com.
That'll work.
Do we need to say the MLS numbers again, just in case?
Yes. My NMLS number is 206048. And the company ID with Fairway Independent Mortgage, 2289. Thanks, Kyle.
All right, folks. That is going to bring us to the end of today's episode. I'd like to say thank you to everyone who stuck around to the end, and to Sue for taking the time out of her busy, busy schedule to join us. If you are looking for a loan, I'm sure we can convince Sue to take on some extra business, but only for the valued listeners. Don't tell your friends. Or tell them. Just make them listen first. We'll be back in your ears soon with another exciting episode. But until then, hike that 5-star rating like it's FOMC week and take care.
See ya. Thanks for having me on, Kyle.
All right. Thank you, Sue.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.